great things.
Sure.
He has done wonderful and great things for us. Praise the Lord for that. We had a wonderful time, wonderful service this morning. Chris brought a great message this morning, Chris Fraser, and it was a good message this morning. So thank y'all for the ones that was here. I counted, I think we almost had 50 here.
Amen.
This morning. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. We have so much to thank Him for.
Yes, we do.
So much to thank Him for.
And some in the field listening to
you. And some in the field listening this morning. That's amazing. That was great. Wonderful. Wonderful. But it's good to be here this morning. Let's go in the Lord in prayer. And I'm going to call on Brother John Cantrell again. Will you lead us in a word of prayer, please?
Father, we thank you once again for the chance for believers to gather your name. Thank you most of all today for the resurrection,
yes,
which is our hope of eternal life with you.
Yes.
Ask you to bless the message that is brought this morning. Help us to keep in mind that there will be things said that we need to apply,
yes,
in our personal lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Y'all can be seated. It's good to have both up here with
me. Amen.
Good to have both up here. You know, I had a bright day up right there. You see, when I seen them pulling up out there, I had a bright day up. So I've already had a good day. Already.
Yes.
It's already been good. But continue praying for Bo and Linda and the family. Continue praying for them. Just always remember them in our prayers. Anyone else you'll lift up in prayer this morning? I know there's lots of folks that needs the Lord and needs to hear the word of God. And again, you know, that I don't know who they were, but this morning, looking across the field out there and that side beside out there, somebody won't hear,
yes,
what God had to say this morning. So that was a blessing right there. Just pray for them, that God would touch them, you know, what they heard this morning. Anyone you'll lift up in prayer this morning. We all have someone on our heart that needs the Lord. We know that.
I just want to let y'all know that Barbara is a lot better. And she's still dragging. But she's been able to go to church the last couple of Sundays. And they've taken very good care of her. And we're so thankful for all the prayers that's been prayed for her, and we want you to continue to remember her.
Continue praying for her. And Michael's sister, Deb, continue praying for her.
Yes.
Always remember her in the prayers. Anyone else?
Pray for Betty's mom that she'll keep recovering, because she had a fall. I talked to Betty, I said she's doing okay. She got banged up, so and hit her head. But she's so far so good. So, but keep praying her in prayers that she'll continue not having problems over it.
We're praying for you from your fall too.
Yeah, she's getting better. She's getting better. Yeah, we had a skier last Saturday, so. But anyhow, anyone else will lift up in prayer this morning?
My uncle had an accident where he shattered his legs several years ago and had been better for a while, but he's having a lot of problems with his knee and also had some kidney issues on top of that. So the medicine that he needs to be taking, he can't take because of his kidneys, and he's in need of your prayers.
So tonight I just want to pray for all the churches that are going to have people come in that door without knowing Jesus. And I just pray for the Holy Spirit to flood the house this morning in all these churches and our church, and if anyone doesn't know the Lord, the spirit of unbelief would come off of them, and their ears would be opened by the Holy Spirit, their eyes would be opened to see the love of God and to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they can get born again today. I mean, it's just up in the park when we drove up, I thought, Lord, look at that parking lot, you know? I looked at my daughter's church and stuff, and I know that they've got a lot of people coming, and spirit today, the flood.
Yes.
I just, something in my spirit, just the flood, the churches that have the pastors that are up in that pulpit wanting to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that their ears would just pop open, and that they would just hear it, you know, and just receive it.
Yes.
Thank you. And this morning on the way up here, hadn't seen any deer a long time, two deer across right over in front of us. Saw all the cows across the street this morning, birds flying by and chirping. Just God's creation was magnificent.
Amen. Amen. You know, this morning during our service out there, and of course I noticed Brother Steve was doing this. He was looking out to the sun, and I caught myself doing the same thing, and you could just hear the birds singing, and they were just happy, and I just lifts my spirit, just to hear that, God's creation, just come alive, and the birds don't have anything to worry about. God's taking care of them.
Sure.
But we live in a cursed world.
Yes.
And
come on, brother.
It is. It's a cursed world. But God knows everything. He knows our hearts. He knows the beginning and he knows the end. But God is going to, we got to put our hope in him. And he can get us through any situation. Again, God put us in a wonderful, great world, but again, it's so cursed, and of course, we cursed it. We done the personal.
That's right.
And we caused this. But we do have hope in Jesus Christ. He's our hope, and he's our only hope.
Yes.
And he's our only hope.
And I would say, brother, it is a cursed world, but we're ambassadors for a better king.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen. That's right.
We can't ever.
Absolutely.
There's one mandate we have. Go out and be ambassadors for a better kingdom.
Yeah.
We know a better kingdom.
Absolutely.
We know where there's peace. We know where there's joy. We know where there's hope. I'm so grateful for that this morning.
I'm
so grateful.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
We
are very grateful. Anyone else have a word you'd like to share? Or just someone lift up in prayer. Just what's over your heart.
Brother Wayne, my cousin's still in the burn unit at UAB, and he probably will be there for some time doing skin grafts on him. And I think Glenda made mention of it last Sunday. But please keep them Marty eyes, and just keep their family in prayers.
Do that. He has a burn is a... something that takes them a long time to heal from. Takes a long time.
So see, Royce's sister in the first.
Yeah, Royce's sister. Yeah. I think she's improved some. You give us a little update?
She was talking to us yesterday. Seems that the doctor was giving her too much medication. That's why she was sleeping.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. She's doing better. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. Anyone else?
Brother Wayne, I just need to make mention of this. Last night on the History Channel, I saw a movie about the crucifixion and the resurrection. And the part that they were showing about what all Christ went through before he was put on the cross, it was so vivid, and at times I had to turn my head to keep from looking at it. But then they showed about the resurrection, and that was just absolutely beautiful. And I am so glad that I'm a child of that King.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Pat. Or anyone else? Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer and lift these up. And I think the ones, if you'd like, if you want to come to the altar, if you can, I'm not asking everyone to come, but if there are ones that can, will you come to the altar? And I think this would be a great time to lift these up in prayer. Now, this is Resurrection Sunday, and I think this would be a perfect time to definitely do that. So the ones that can, will y'all come to the altar, please? Brother Roger, will you lead us in this prayer, please?
Our Father, as we turn to you, as we continue to purpose with us, so much.
Take our Sunday school classes at this time.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
You know, I think of all Sundays when a church needs to put their best foot forward as on Easter Sunday, especially for all the visitors that might come and be with us. And you're going to have to settle for your assistant teacher this morning. I apologize. And again, Brother Michael and Marilyn had the opportunity this morning to go to their son-in-law's church, where their grandchildren, I know Madeline's part of a Easter program or some special event, and they wanted to go be with them, and certainly we understand that and wish them well, but boy, did we miss them today. I thought about this, Brother Steve. I remember one time when I was a child, this might have happened a couple of times during my growing up, where it would, in a revival or maybe a night service, the pastor would just lay the Bible down on the altar and say to the song leader, sing us another verse in song, and whoever feels impressed to lead our devotion, come get the Bible. And you know, somebody always would.
Yeah.
And I wondered if they'd do that if I did that with the Sunday school lesson this morning. If I just said, well, we're going to sing a few more songs. If you're ever glad to come forward, just come on. But it is great to be here. It's great to be in the Lord's house.
Amen.
And what a privilege that we have to be here today to celebrate what Jesus did for us on Calvary and what he did for us and when he rose from the grave. It is an expression of love to us that we cannot understand or comprehend. But it inspires us to love one another, doesn't it? When we think about what Jesus did for us. We've had a pretty eventful Easter weekend so far. I'm going to just say that though everybody that came to Cornerstone on Friday at lunch, I know that you were blessed. And Brother Steve, I was thrilled to see the number of people from Liberty Hill that was at Cornerstone. And you'd been very proud of a good job that our pastor did in sharing about the resurrection. And we had a house full of people there. And Brother Steve, it was a blessing, and we appreciated that so much. I had encountered people all through the week, and Aniana said, we're going to come in to hear your pastor in church Friday at Cornerstone. And so we was glad to see the house filled up. And Brother Steve said he wasn't nervous but the first 4 or 5 seconds, and then it was gone. Right? But he did a marvelous job there. And then what a special night we had Friday night.
Yes.
In our communion service and our feet washing. And that was that expression of love to each other, an expression of our servitude and our willingness to serve and to bow down. And, you know, the Bible teaches us that we to prefer our brother above ourselves. And what a privilege there to be able to wash our brother's feet after having taken part in the communion service.
Yeah. Chris, can I say this?
Yes, sir.
Concerning our communion service, we were wrapping it up Friday night, and everybody's putting their shoes and socks back on, and we was fixing to call it a night. Bobby still had his off, and Kelton come over there, and he said, can I wash your feet?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, what a blessing. What a blessing. No wonder Bobby started crying.
Well, thank you, Brother Steve. That was very, very special service. I'm going to just share what's on my heart in this lesson today, and it comes from Romans chapter 14. And Brother Michael told me that we would begin in verse 9 of Romans. So we're just going to stay with our lesson plan in the book of Romans. But I really need your prayers here because I want to share some things that that I just feel like the Lord's put on my heart to share.
Blessing God.
And some very personal. But I hope that it will help us as we grow our church and we extend the love that we have in our hearts to our community. So I'm going to read, we start in verse 9, and I'm just going to read about 9 through 12. I don't think we're going to get very far. But verse 9, for to this end Christ both died and rose. To this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. I think I'm going to stop right there. And I thought it was very fitting, Brother Wayne, singing the song that we sung at conclusion of our sunrise service, He is Lord. He is Lord, He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. And it goes on to say, every tongue shall confess that He is Lord.
Yes.
Brother Michael did a wonderful job teaching the first part of this chapter 2 weeks ago. We parted from it last week. And there's really nothing that I can add to what he taught us that will be of benefit. However, the subject matter is so important to the life of our church and any church that I really want to, as we try to grow and reach the unchurched or our community, that I think it really warrants some review and maybe to go back and talk about that leading up to chapter 9. Leading up to verse 9, we see that we're not to fall out with each other over doubtful disputations. And so I had to scratch my head on that a little bit. I knew what it meant, but I didn't know how to explain it really. But that is that we're not to quarrel with ourselves over varying opinions on things. And it should never break the fellowship of our individual fellowship, nor the fellowship of our church, when we find that we have a different opinion on something. It just shouldn't. Often it does, but it shouldn't. As we remember back to 2 weeks ago in the first part of this, we find that here in Rome there was much concern for those who ate meat and for those who didn't. Some only ate herbs, or we would say vegetables. And I'm kind of following my outline that I wrote out this morning because it's helped me to get across what I need to say today. And you know, it went on to say that some esteemed one day over another, while some esteemed every day the same. So it was making the point that, you know, they were all over the place on some things. But that everyone was doing what they did, as I understood the verses, because they did it to honor God. And see, that's the main thing, that whether we live or whether we die, as it says in this, that it is unto the Lord.
Yes.
And whatever we do, we should do, in my opinion, in my conviction, it might be different yours, but that whatever we do, we should do it as unto the Lord. That means that when I get up in the morning to go to work, I need to do my work as unto the Lord. And when I have an opportunity to serve my fellow man in the community or to help someone that needs help, that I'm to do that as unto the Lord, not as unto men. So, keeping in mind that there in Rome, there were some people that ate meat, offered idols, some didn't, some were vegetarians, some thought you should do things on this day, other day, but it did point out that they were all doing what they thought was the right thing to do to honor the Lord, which was the main thing. So, we should be very careful about judging the actions and decisions of a fellow believer if we know that their heart, in their heart, they're striving to serve and honor God.
Amen.
So I think we have to be careful not to let our opinions or traditions rise to the level of God's commands. because we hear, you know, we hear the word sometimes in Bible teaching about the legalism of the Jews or the legalism of the church or being legalistic. What does that really mean? What does that mean to be legalistic or to... Well, I think that when we let our own opinions rise to the level of the commands of God, then we are risking not only being self-righteous, but being legalistic. We're putting our opinion right up there with what God said, and that's not what we should do. Now, I know that there are things that we cannot compromise on in our Christian belief. What are some of those things? Let's talk about that. What are some of the things, the doctrines of our church, our beliefs as Christians, that we really cannot compromise on?
Brother Chris, one of them is the very thing we're celebrating this morning, the resurrection.
Amen. Right.
Sure.
That's right. Name me something else.
Being born again.
That's a you must in the scripture. You must be born again. Somebody else. Something that we can't compromise on. The deity of the Godhead. That's something that we can't compromise on. That's a basic tenet and teaching of the scripture. Somebody else?
Christ is the only way of salvation.
Amen. That's right. We can't. That's not something that we compromise on. We can't. The virgin birth of Jesus is something that we can't compromise on. That's basic doctrines of our church. So there was, but that's not what we're talking about here today. And I don't think that's what we're talking about in the beginning of Romans chapter 14. It was disagreements over opinions, not the doctrines of the church. When God was leading Pam and I to come to a Liberty Hill church, there were some things I was concerned about. And it really went back to some of the teachings of my childhood that I come to believe over time were just simply wrong. And I was really concerned about that. And I had occasion to talk to two of our deacons about that, Brother Bo being one of them, and Brother Michael at another time, about things that concern me and concerns me about the growth of any church. And the response that I received from both of these godly men, I'll never forget, because it was the perfect response. And that is, if we have differences, or we have differences of opinion, then what we all should always do is stop, take a deep breath, and go back and say, what does the Bible say about it?
Amen.
What does this book say? And that was the response that they both gave me when they said, well, Brother Chris, you know, if things ever come up that we ever have a different opinion on, we're not going to fall out about it. We're going to see what this says about it. And I just wanted to say, praise God.
Sure. Amen. God bless
because
you.
Because that's what we should do. I have seen the time, and you may have seen the time, where to be part of a I don't know why I'm so emotional.
Bless your heart.
I apologize. I don't know why I feel so emotional about this, but it's on my heart to say, and I guess I was a little fearful of how it would be received. But you know, and I'm not deviating from what our lesson is. We're going to tie it all back together. But I have witnessed times in my lifetime where to be part of the church family, you had to look right, you had to smell right, your hair had to be the right length, and the list goes on and on. You probably have seen that too. But that's not who we are. The Liberty Hill. Praise God.
Praise God.
Brother Bowler-Roo made one of the most profound statements that I'll never forget, Bo, as long as I live. That's when Brother John joined our church. John, you was apprehensive about that. You knew you were concerned about how you would be received. And Brother Bo said, I have been praying that somebody just like you would join the church. I'll never forget that. How much that meant to me. And thank you, brother. So talk about what are doctrines of the church and what are the opinions of men. In 1972, I was a seventh grader going into J.B. Pennington High School. And there had never been a high school band at Pennington. And so I wanted to join the band. I was a charter member. And I went to band. My parents encouraged that because they knew the value of a music education. So in the fall of 1972, the J.B. Pennington High School Band took the field for the very first time. And I marched in 50 straight ball games. Now, I don't know if seventh graders march anymore or not, but we did then because we were new. We were getting everything started. And I marched and played first trumpet in 50 straight ball games. What I'm going to say, I don't mean to be critical, but I really want to make a point. I marched in 50 ball games, and my parents never came to a single one. Not a single one. Because pastors of the church that we had at that time preached from this pulpit that it was sinful to go to a ball game. Now I'm talking about traditions. I'm talking about when our views take the place of what this says is wrong. Now that's deeply personal. I'm sharing it with you for the reason that I want us to understand what is taught in the scripture today. I had been leading the worship as a minister of music at First Baptist Hayden for years. My children, my two daughters, as they entered their teenage years, 14 and 15 years old, stood apart from all the other youth because I wouldn't let them wear their pants or blue jeans on Sunday night service. Now God convicted me of that and said, you have got to turn loose of your tradition, because what's on the inside of someone is so much more important than what they're wearing.
Amen.
It was a hard decision, but God let me know I was wrong about that. So, several of these things have been touched on in the last couple of weeks. Brother Steve alluded to the fact, should we as Christians go out to eat on Sunday? That's a conviction for you. That's a decision for you to make, in my opinion. And I might add, Pam said something really funny this morning. While my mom and dad went all those years and wouldn't go to high school ball game, nor let me play Little League baseball because they might get in a fuss out there. Somebody might say a cuss word or something, so we just couldn't be part of it. And then my dad, and years later, I forget what year it was, not this last year, but the time Alabama played in the Rose Bowl before that, what year was that? Somebody remember? That time we won the national championship. So they didn't come, but years went by. He got on an airplane, flew to Pasadena, California to see the Crimson Tide play in the Rose Bowl. And he should have. He had opportunity to do that with my middle brother. And so I can remember when we didn't have a TV at our home. And maybe we shouldn't have one now. Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. And I tell you this, but that's going to be your personal conviction. You know, it's hard to have a TV on in your home without hearing things said that should not be said. And so I didn't know how to handle that with our kids growing up, except when something was said that shouldn't be said, I pointed out immediately. I said, you do not talk that way. That's not right. That's not what you do. And once we did have a TV, Brother Bobby, you might be interested or find this amusing. But once we did have a TV, I remember now it wasn't any remote control. Mine's remote control. You know, it's 6 to 13 or 10. But I remember my dad coming out of his chair and slapping the TV off button and cut it off. And you know why? Fred Sanford said a little something off color on Sanford's son. Now that might be as clean a show on TV now, I don't know. But I remember that very vividly. So can Christians go to ball games? Can Christians go on a Sunday afternoon boat ride? Brother Michael mentioned that a couple of weeks ago. That's a personal thing for you, isn't it?
I look at it like this, Chris. If you going to ball games, I don't see anything wrong with that, but if you let that take priority over your Christian, you know, let that take over your Christian, you know, ways, I think it is wrong. If you're putting that in front of God,
well,
you make that your God.
And Brother Wayne, I think that goes to the very heart of something in this lesson that we're not hardly to, and we touched on a couple of weeks ago, and that was that the freedoms we have in Christ never give us the permission to do something that would be offensive to our brother. Never. Right. Never.
Especially our weaker brother.
That's right. That's exactly right. So, you know, I have sat down at the table with as many as 8 or 10 people in different situations in my work where everyone was having a drink except me. And you know, that did not bother me at all to have my unsweet tea while everybody else was having something else. And bother me in the least.
Brother Chris, I just had very, very quickly a great conversation and a great lesson. Where did Jesus go eat at?
With the sinners.
That's it.
That's right.
You can't live your life in front of sinners if you're not.
That's right.
Sinners. As long as we keep Him in the center of our life,
that's right.
We're supposed to be a light to the world.
Right.
He went to go save the lost. And to me, that's our opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely, it is. But now back to the point we were making here about the weaker brother. So, in that situation, would it be a sin if I had had a glass of wine or something with everybody else? Would that have been a sin? Well,
because of that.
Because of this. I could not do that just because of this, because I have pledged to abstain from that. So there again, I'm just breaking.
That comes down to, you know, that is a choice that we made when we joined this church.
That's correct.
And that covenant was discussed. So we can't project that on someone else,
That's correct.
As you're talking about. Mm-hmm. It's a decision that they have to make for themselves. Now, the Bible does talk about drunkenness.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And and to abstain from, you know, from that, I think we're called to. But a lot of men can't do that.
Right. And that's right. Your point is very well made, Linda. But in my personal life, in my witness of others, I've not ever seen anything good come out of drinking alcohol. I've never seen anything good. Pam brought up something this morning. I was sharing her, and listen, if y'all will go back and read this chapter 14 down through where you, because I'm going to get out of time, but you're going to see how everything I've said ties to this scripture. But so Pam and I were talking about things, and she said, well, what about baptism? What about baptism? Hi, Shirley. This is my sweet mother-in-law. So what about baptism? Is baptism in a baptistry, is that any good? Does that count? Does baptism in somebody's pond count? Does it count? I can remember when it didn't. You had to be baptized in the river if you was going to be baptized. And I don't think it doesn't matter to me if you baptize in a horse trough. If it's that's right, all the way under. That's right. But what I'm saying, I've seen a time that was a really big deal. It's a really big deal.
I will say this, Brother Chris. I was baptized in a baptistry, and it was sufficient. It did what I needed to have done. Amen. But I sure did feel guilty when I saw my kids baptized in the river.
But it's just such a beautiful setting. Such a beautiful setting.
Linda said she wants to be baptized.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful setting. Yeah, that's right. But
Brother Chris, going back to like what you were saying here, and how we can be we feel convicted. We're all on a different walk with God, a different step of the, you know, the milk of the meat type situation. We are all in a different level, but a different walk. And I had talked to a preacher previously about this because I was asking him, I'm like, how do I know what you think is right and wrong and this sort of thing? And he was like, because he was talking about he had the VHS tapes or something that was in his house that he was letting his kids watch. That he let them watch forever, that all of a sudden he just felt this conviction over, they don't even be watching that. So I feel like we are all in different walks, and God will convict us over different things at different times. And that's when we need to listen.
So, yeah, we're at different maturity levels.
That's
yeah, in our Christian walk. That's exactly right. So this is funny. I'll end this with something I think is a little bit funny to me. I never read this in the minutes of this church, but I heard it. It was true. It's just hearsay. But that there was a lady brought up before the church for dancing. And she had to make acknowledgments for that. But they really wasn't concerned about her husband who was playing banjo in the band. Or, so, it's true, okay. Sister Nell said that's true. That's come
out.
Is that right? Oh, yeah, she was.
She did not.
So, yeah. So, you know, we could just go on and on about these things. And I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to share some things that are very personal to me. But the whole point that I want to make in conclusion here is that our main purpose is to show the love of Jesus to each other and to our community because of what Christ has done for us. The love of Christ constraineth us.
Sure.
That while we were yet sinners, he died for us. And so we want that love to constrain us when we have opportunity to maybe say something that we shouldn't, or take issue with something that we shouldn't. Now remember, there are some things that we don't compromise on, but there's a lot of other things that we just love each other through.
Amen.
And we make it to the other side and we get where we want to be. So if we've got any time left, if anybody's got something you'd like to share, and listen, please go back this week and read Romans 14 because it's all about just what we've been talking about here today.
A lot of people say follow your heart. I say follow God's heart.
Amen. Right. Follow this. That's right. Amen.
This is not Bible, but you know, Romans 3:23 says, you know, all have sinned and fall short. And if before we open our mouths, we will take into account just what we're going to say and have an eternal benefit, that would probably save us from saying a lot of things that shouldn't be said to a lot of people. It's not for our benefit. It's for an eternal benefit.
Amen.
Brother Chris. There's, for the commission of the church really moves when she's in one mind and one accord.
Right.
And when there's disputations, there can be division.
Mm-hmm.
There have churches split all down through the years because of differences of opinion.
Right, right.
Unless we're in one mind and one accord, we're not going to have the effect that God wants us to have.
Amen, that's right. Amen.
And we can't allow division to come into that.
That's right.
And Brother Chris, if you and I have a different opinion, that don't mean I love you any less.
No, that's right. Absolutely.
Not one little bit.
That's right.
And when I get to thinking myself as something that I'm really not, then that's when it becomes too important to me, my opinion.
That's right.
And so our aim is not to be divided, whatever
the confuser throws at us.
That's right.
Appreciate you, brother.
That's right. I was so proud, I'll say this, I was just so proud of you as a church family when a few weeks ago we had a lady come into our service, sat down up here, and a person that some of us might have known and seen up and down the road here in our community. But you were so kind, you were so nice, you were so loving, and I feel like you tried to show the love of Jesus to this young lady. She's in the Blount County Jail right now, and I'm asking you to pray for her. But when she was with us, we tried to show the love of Jesus to her.
Sure. I would like to clarify one thing. I said, this room didn't deserve that. I did not mean that what they did was the church, that what they considered was wrong. We've got many books of where the minutes are written, fascinating.
Yeah.
And we've had them at our house for a long time, and I read and reread them. And that is written down. These times were different then, and people felt, I guess, differently then. But, and I'm not saying that we've all changed and we are enlightened and everything like that.
No, ma'am.
Not at all.
God bless you.
Basically, what you said, we know what we live in, and we don't ever need to cross out.
God bless you.
And at that time, the people, the men, I'm sure the men were not touched. They thought they were doing well, but you know, that was a different time. They didn't dance and they didn't do things. But she was a different
way. Oh, amen. God. All right.
Brother Chris, let me say this. You mentioned something about it a few minutes ago about the band at Pennington. And the first Easter Sunrise service I remember going to was in the mid-70s. And I went with my sister down to Gospel Methodist Church. And it was a stormy, blustery morning. It was not raining, but the clouds were moving. And it was just a heavy feeling morning. And we were outside, and across the street, up in the cemetery, there was a young man who played the old rugged cross on the trumpet. And if I remember right, that young man was you.
Yes, sir.
So the things that kids learn at school, that was a long time ago, Chris.
Yeah. About 50 years.
It just made the hair on my neck stand up. So it was so pretty and so fitting, that blustery, stormy Easter morning.
Amen.
There was a young man standing up there playing the trumpet.
Well, thank you, Robert. Let's all stand together and welcome our visitors. Shake hands with those around you.